Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
XRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started this morning, just one how it is, well, not hot, but it's a warm day here in Laguna, super sunny, and I guess a wonderful beach day. So anyway, that's the story here in the studio. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to the Importance of Being show. We'll be right back to get the show started after these songs.
Oh, this part was for her. Does she remember? That it comes and goes in waves. This one's for the faithless, the ones that are surprised. They're only where they are now, regardless of their fight.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am happy to have as my guest, it's a bit of a miracle, Steve and Aaron Toth.
Toth.
You say Toth, I say Toth.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys do the Living Waters Christian School in Haiti,
yes, correct? Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that. You know, the last time you were on, this was a Saturday show, it was 8 o'clock, so we've got a whole different audience for this. So for them, it's probably not a repeat, and for me, it's just nice to hear the story.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, to start off, I became an orthopedic technologist way back in 2007, and I started working for Kaiser Permanente. And one of my goals after becoming an orthotech was to go on medical missions, because I do casting, splinting, you know, help with fracture reductions and things like
that. So it wasn't just to get a good job and make a lot of money and get a big fancy car.
Yeah.
You were always like, you know, if I do this, I'll be able to help people.
Exactly. That was my final goal, actually, from
the
making this career change. So in 2010, the earthquake happened, devastating earthquake that killed close to 300,000, had close to 70,000 traumatic amputations.
In Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
In Port-au-Prince.
I mean, Port-au-Prince.
Port-au-Prince. Yeah, there's a lot of Portos.
So even though the earthquake didn't hit where our school is, there still were, you know, it's just like with Hurricane Katrina is the best way I can describe it, is all the people in New Orleans just went, whoosh,
scattered to the winds,
you know, because there was no place to live.
So now, were you up and running at that time?
The school? No, the school didn't start until a year later.
Okay, so you're moved by what was going on there,
right,
and you decide you want to do something because you've taken the training.
Yes, and at a orthopedic technologist convention that I go to every year, there was a young man who had started his own medical missions to the town of Port-au-Prince, or actually it was San Luis du Nord, is where we went first, and doing prosthetics for amputees.
Oh, yes.
And that's a very interesting process because usually here in the States, once you get your prosthetic, you're not up walking on it right away. There, they're up walking on their prosthetic right away, and in one day, they're back going home, you know.
Right.
So anyways.
Yeah, they don't have insurance for long hospital stays.
Yeah. So we went for a week, right? We went for a week, and it was awesome. It was an awesome experience. We came back changed, because that's a place.
So wait, awesome in what way? Because, it seems like it would be miserable, or they're, being in the midst of such overwhelming misery.
Right. I think it was just awesome in how we felt about we were able to help people and do work down there. And even though it is miserable, it's not a vacation destination by any stretch of the imagination. It's the feeling that you get, it's a good heart fixer.
Okay.
To go down there and see what's going on and to realize how fortunate we are in this
And I guess fortunate to be able to lend a hand.
Right. And also fortunate just living here, because the roads are backbreakers up there. Everything. I came back and I went, I am never going to complain about a road in the United States ever again.
Make sure you go to the bathroom before you get on the road.
So Erin and I went. She was able to go. She's not medically trained, but she is one of those people that can do and will do anything.
Okay.
So she became the MVP of that trip. And
certainly she has the heart for it.
Yes. And 6 months later, we went back in April with the same group. And
okay.
I'm going to let Erin take it away from there.
All right, Erin. Ba-dum-ba-dum.
Well, he didn't mention that he also assisted in surgery. On our first visit, I was doing triage. I also brought my sewing machine. So the prosthetists, you have to say that very carefully, would an amputee
let's
would
have you say it again. So
yeah,
you mess it
a
up.
Prosthetist. Yes, they would come, and the amputees would come in, and we would have to dig through an old pile of prosthetics to try to find something that would do. They were making some of the fittings on site with using like cut off bottles as funnels and through a pile of t-shirts to try to get the color, the right skin tone, and because you don't want a bright white t-shirt on a brown leg.
Right.
And I checked in a little baby at about, he was maybe 7 or 8 months old with severely club feet. And my husband, Steve, and the surgeon went into this makeshift surgical room there at the Northwest Haiti Christian Mission that was hosting the team. And the room complete with a fly swatter. in the surgical room.
Oh, yes. That's a whole different kind of scrub. Yeah.
A rock for a door handle.
Yeah, so they spent 7 hours operating on this little baby to try to repair his feet. And just the surgeon and Stephen. And they couldn't save the left foot, so they amputated the left foot, but they were able to meticulously dissect and turn around the bones of this little tiny baby. And over the years, we have watched this little boy grow up, and we recently have a video of him with a prosthetic foot kicking a soccer ball and running down the street.
He's in the mix.
He's just fixed, you know, and it the type of joy that you get from that is just undescribable, watching someone come in who is on crutches and has never had a leg, and suddenly we're able to give them a leg that they can actually walk on and look like a human walking with a knee.
Sure, and play with their peers and yes. run and do all the things that kids would be doing.
Otherwise they'd be, you know, it's hard. It's 80% unemployment. The vast majority of Haitian people do not have regular income, access to clean water, enough food, toilets, school, or medical care. And the country boasts about an 80% unemployment, especially up in the real rural areas.
Right.
So the second visit in April of 2011, we worked with that same medical team at the Northwest Haiti Christian Mission. And we started making friends with some of the kids, the orphans, and my heart was just bleeding for these little kids begging for food on the street. And my mind was flashing back to the United States, where we have more than we need of everything.
Well, we throw away more than
we consume 80% of the world's resources, and we have clinics for Overeaters Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Sexaholics, hoarding. It just the obesity level. We're dying from overabundance.
Sure.
And the weight of the world was on my heart that April of 2011, and I went in my tent every night and was just sobbing to God, just like, God, please let me help these children. I couldn't even give them something to eat. And it just seemed so unfair, and it just really affected us. Well, we came back from that second one-week trip, and I just knew that I had to do something. We just felt like we could not do something. And there was one little family of three orphans that we wanted to help go to school there. It's quite expensive. It's completely out of financial ability.
Yeah, so there's not public schools there.
There is a public school, but it's known as the lottery school because it's very difficult to get into.
Okay.
And it still costs more than most of the people make.
Oh, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with 80% unemployment, their daily routine is just to try to find dirty water from the river and something to eat. And I started emailing our young interpreter, Monine, who was 24 and just a real sweet young gal. And in July of 2011, in one of my emails, I mentioned that I felt like maybe I should try to open a school. And
yeah, Steve, where were you when this thing popped into being?
Who would have thought?
Honey, like, whoa, we're going to go to Costco.
Actually, I was totally on board for the whole thing, but it is a crazy thing to think, well, we're going to start a school, and it just seems like an impossibility, and we still get that feeling. Seven years later, we're going, what the heck are we doing? Why did God choose us for this? Because we are totally ill-equipped, but He makes it possible, and that's the great thing about it.
Okay.
Go ahead, hon.
So from the moment that I spoke those words on that email, Within 16 weeks, the doors of the school were open. We sent a crier through the city, the slums, saying free school for the poor. We only wanted to accept children who had never attended school before.
Right.
We had over 100 kids show up. We found a house to rent. It was $2,000 for the year. Mm-hmm. And Monine and was a newlywed, and she and her husband became the directors of the school, and they were able to vet,
Right, so you had somebody on the ground who understood the lay of the land.
And if the kids were just rich kids that were trying to get something free.
Right.
So we had 13 and 14-year-olds coming to school for the first time. Hmm. Lots of girls. Boys are usually educated first.
Right.
10% of all Haitian children are indebted servants, also known as slaves, and they actually sell whips in the marketplace. To twists of hard rawhide to whip your restavec.
Right.
And restavec? Yeah, that's the name of a live with. The direct translation is live with,
okay.
Restavec.
Restavec.
And so our director went to every restavec she knew and begged them to allow them to go to school.
Okay.
Usually they're not educated.
Right.
And so we opened in November of 2011 with 102 students.
Wow. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. Today, my guests are Steve and Aaron Toff, and they run started the Living Water Christian School in Haiti, and we'll be back and hear more of that story. This is KX93.5.
stand over my bed, disbelieving what they see. They say I must be one of the wonders, God's own creation. And as far as they see, they can offer no explanation. Newspapers ask intimate questions, want confessions. They reach into my head to steal the glory of my story. They say I must be one of the wonders, God's own creation. And as far as they see, they can offer no explanation.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. My guests are Steve and Aaron Toth, and we're talking about the first day of the Living Water Christian School. You've got your 100 or so students. They've showed up. You've vetted them and tried to make sure that they were truly needy as opposed to people who maybe had the resources and just wanted something, wanted to use those resources for something else.
Right.
So what did it, and so you have a lot of experience running a school, right? You guys knew
no.
all about it.
No.
You had all the proper no. forms.
My family comes from a long line of teachers. In fact, both my mom and my dad were teachers in Laguna Beach for many, many years.
Oh,
and
uh-huh.
My stepdad, Ron Rodecker, was a very well-known artist here in town doing his dragon art.
Okay.
And actually ended up starting the Dragon Tales cartoon series on PBS.
Oh.
So Laguna's my hometown, and I've just always been here. I have a business here, and so I'm a Lagoonian, and
a lagunatic, right?
Yes. And yeah, it's interesting that our lives took us all the way over to Haiti, and we never imagined that we would get so involved with that country. We basically were just called to do it. We thought we were going over there for a one-time mission,
mission accomplished.
Yes, but the second time we went and meeting these people, becoming friends with them, we really fell in love with the Haitian people, with the children.
And what is it about Haiti or the
there's
people
something
that
resilient about the Haitian people. They are very hard workers, and you know, they've kind of gotten a bad rap. Yes, they've had some bad governmental dictatorships and things, but if you really look at the history of Haiti, the United States had a lot to do with that, and the main powers of France and so forth. Originally, France...
So colonial meddling.
Yes, when France was in control of Haiti, and Spain was also there, Napoleon imported 500,000 kidnapped Africans into Haiti to work on their plantations there, and it was known as the Pearl of France, because 80% of their produce was actually brought over from Haiti. And they would go through actually 500,000 African slaves a year and then just import more. And after a certain period of time, the slaves were able to overthrow Napoleon's army.
Okay.
It was sort of the beginning of guerrilla warfare, because they were the historical records of how they were treated is so abhorrent, you can't even imagine how badly they were treated. So they overthrew Napoleon's army, and when they did so, as a result, Napoleon said, well, I don't need the Louisiana Purchase area anymore, so let the Americans buy it. It was the Louisiana Purchase was directly affected by the overthrowing of Napoleon's army by the Haitian slaves.
Okay, so he said, I'm washing my hands of this.
Yes, yeah. He just said, well, I don't need, you know, New Orleans and that whole area anymore, because they would ship things over from there. Well, after that, all of the great world powers at the time decided that those bad Haitians needed to pay back France for their loss. So it took them over 100 years to pay back the financial debt that France supposedly incurred for having lost their slaves and their land. Yeah, it's it's absurd. But
all right, so let's get back to school.
So we ended up opening this school. It was a miracle, one miracle after another.
Right.
We started with kindergarten first and second grade. And each year, we added one grade level. So we put the older kids in second grade at the very beginning, because they were starting from scratch, but we didn't want to put, you know, 16-year-olds in kindergarten.
Right.
So then the next year, we added third grade. The year after that, fourth. The year after that, fifth. And now we're up to preschool through eighth grade currently.
Hmm. Okay.
And we have now over 400 children. We purchased a water purification system. The kids get daily multivitamins with iron, which is critical in an area of malnutrition. We received a grant from Vitamin Angels, and so twice a year we distribute unlimited supply of prenatal vitamins and vitamin A drops for children under 2 years of age. Without this crucial vitamin A, they can develop sight issues and brain development issues.
Okay.
So it's really...
So it's not just a school.
It's really just a health
wellness center.
Our mission is a little bit broad. Our mission is to bring clean water education, income development, and basic medical care to the poorest people of Haiti.
Okay.
So we, the medical teams that we used to go there with, we go on our own now, but they'll call and say, hey, Steve, are you in town? We need a couple of casts done, and he'll run over and do it. And they also send their doctors or medical care professionals over to the school to assess and
so in a way, you're
care
kind of
for
the,
all the kids at the
you're
school.
You're kind of now the hub of an ecosystem of humanitarian effort.
Yes, and our big goal in the upcoming years is to buy our own land.
You have nothing more.
Yes, we're renting a house, and we actually have to be out of that house in a year and 3 months.
Okay.
So we need to buy land. That's okay. Critical. When we do this, our plan is that one adult from every child's family, in lieu of tuition, is going to have to come and work on the compound, and we will have gardens, fruit trees, livestock, chickens, goats,
okay.
pigs. And then we're going to train the adult who comes and works and give them, issue them a certificate that they can then use to generate income.
Okay.
So we've got sewing plant. People have been donating sewing machines. And in order to learn how to sew, they'll be sewing the uniforms for the kids at the school.
Awesome.
We want to have electric, auto repair, animal husbandry, you know, chicken farming, beekeeping.
Hmm.
There's a whole litany of things that are appropriate for that area in
right.
that country.
And to try to build some kind of microeconomy that's yeah. sustainable.
Yeah, and we've already helped a few of the families get work on generating incomes. And so the school is affecting, with 400 families, we're affecting the entire north coast of Haiti. I think we should just talk about one little story that maybe Stephen mm-hmm. can talk yeah. about.
So in October of 2016...
You're supposed to let me ask a question.
Oh.
Steve, what do you have to say next?
Oh. Yes.
Thank you, Ernest. Yeah, well, that's great.
Stay tuned next week for the Steve and Aaron show.
Yeah.
I know. I better watch out.
Yeah.
So in 2016, we were there again, and we did a lot of the same stuff that we do, you know, just with the kids and stuff. But on our last day, Aaron wanted to go on a walk and just kind of wander around the neighborhood and up into the hills behind
to
where
see
we
see what kind of trouble she could get you into.
Yeah, exactly. actually, she had Tootsie Rolls, so she was passing out little Tootsie Rolls to all the little kids. So we're going up this one way, and Aaron goes, no, I think we should go up this other way. And so we walked that way, and we came to a little, what would you say? It's like a little store, but it's outside. It's just one table with gum and candy and things
oh, okay.
on it. You know, and that's a lot of the people do that kind of
like a
business.
Bodega or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no building. There was a little shade with palm fronds.
Yes. Right.
But,
right. Yeah, but
6x6 foot spot on the side of the road. And so we, the man that was there at the place was going,
He said, blanc, blanc, which means, you know, foreigner. And he pointed down to the ground and said, malady. And he was pointing at these little kids laying on the ground. And so our Creole is getting pretty good, Haitian Creole. So I was like, you know, kisa malady, what malady? And he said, the little girl fell and she hurt her arm. And
wow.
And I really had felt a strong need to go on this walk. I really felt some higher force was
right.
poking me to go on this walk and poking me to go up that particular road. And so I called Steve over, and he looked at her arm.
So I looked at her arm, and it was initially they had wrapped it with a bunch of leaves around it
okay.
and then in a cloth, you know, just
right. yeah.
kind of their voodoo thing, you know, that they do. And so when I picked her arm up, I could bend it a little bit, and it was bending in the wrong place.
Oh.
And I'm going, okay, she's got a both bone forearm fracture. And
unstable.
Unstable. Yeah. So
no bueno.
I had this brainstorm. We didn't have any casting material or anything like that. But I used to be a Boy Scout. And be prepared. It's the Boy Scout motto. And so I thought, you know what? I can make her a cast out of cardboard and duct tape.
Oh,
that's all I need. So we took a motorbike back to there.
I stayed with the little girl. Mm-hmm, and Steve
Aaron
went
stayed
back.
There. And then we came back, and I constructed this really cool little cardboard cast. Long arm cast,
okay.
You know, for this little girl made out of cardboard and duct tape. So then, you know, that was the end of it. She was probably a domestic servant. She was 4 years old at the time.
Right.
So believe it or not, the way this works is a poorer family will give their children or a child to a more well-off family.
Or sell them.
Right.
Or sell them,
right.
You know, for a certain amount of money.
Right.
So we're kind of thinking that's what she might be. So when we went back again
last year,
2017, Aaron goes, you know what? I want to see if we can find that little girl. We have to go retrace our steps and see if we can find that little girl. So we went up the same route. We found the same little stand. And we were asking people, you know, do you remember the little girl that had the broken arm? And a lot of people said, no, we don't know who you're talking about. We had a picture of her that we were showing the people. Yeah. And then somebody goes, oh, yeah. She lives over there. So we went and we knocked on the door, and the gate opened, and this little girl walks out. And it's the same little girl a year later.
Okay.
And her arm is healed.
Oh, good.
And so that was really exciting and gratifying. We have pictures, but I can't show you pictures.
She sure is pretty. Okay, we're going to take a break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guests are Steve and Aaron Toth. They founded the Living Water Christian School in Haiti, and we're talking about their adventures. So we'll be back in just a bit. This is KX93.5.
Lost in the fog, it's hollow here. Blood running hard. Night cheers. Without your love, I'll be so long and lost. Are you missing me? Is it too late to come on home? Are all those bridges now old stone? Is it too late to come on home? City forgive, I hear its sad song. I need the clouds to cover me, pulling them down, surround me. Without your love, I'll be so long and lost. Are you missing me? Is it too late to come on home? Are all those bridges now old stone? Is it too late to come on home? We spoke. Will you be there up on the shore? I hope you wonder why it is that I came home. I figured out
And we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guests are Steve and Aaron Toth, and they founded the Living Water Christian School. When we left off, you were up to eighth grade, and you also had a preschool. So take it away.
We just wanted to mention the main reason that we're here today, and that is to announce that we're going to be having a promotional event at Main Beach in Laguna Beach on two Saturdays this month, on July 21st and July 28th. And we'd love it if you have any questions or want to learn anything more about what we're doing in Haiti. Come on down. We will have photos of the classes, and our main goal is to get each class adopted or sponsored.
Oh, okay.
And this costs $200 a month, and it's really not. It's such a good deal. I know that the International Children's Fund is about $40 or even more for each individual child. And
right.
at our school, $200 a month provides education and vitamins, egg days. They get Christmas gifts at Christmas. They get colored eggs at Easter, picnics,
clean water
at the school, vitamins. And for 60-plus children, some of the classes have actually 65 kids.
Wow.
So it's a really good deal, a great bang for your buck.
Exactly.
As far as...
Took the words right out of my mouth.
You know, as far as philanthropy. So please come down and talk to us. We'll have pictures and storyboards. We're going to have a raffle of a Haitian basket of art and crafts and goods from Haiti.
Now, are the deductions tax deductible?
Yes, we are an official.
Or the donations, duh.
Yeah, we're an official 501c3 mm-hmm. nonprofit organization, so everybody gets their tax-free donations. And some of the other things you can do for the school, like
What do you guys need?
Yeah, well, we definitely need volunteers. We need help with website development. We need help with promotions. If anybody out there wants to help us with promotions, with our website, with social media.
You don't have to go to Haiti to do that.
You don't have to go to Haiti. Although
you can be doing something in the comfort of Laguna
exactly.
Beach.
Yes,
exactly.
But we do also provide mission trip opportunities if you do want to go and visit the school. We usually go once a year in October, occasionally twice a year. And we have one gal who lives in Washington State, and once a year she gathers her friends and family and pulls together enough money to adopt one class. And she's been following this same group of kids from kindergarten all the way up now, like I think they're in fourth grade now.
Wow, talk about making an impact.
And it's very painless. So they just pool their money and send us the money for the whole year. In October, and so it's $2,400 for the year, and that provides the teacher for that class for the whole year.
Okay.
And she gets letters and pictures, and she actually went to Haiti and visited her class.
Wow.
And she just said it, you know, it was something
that must have been powerful.
It's so powerful, and the kids are so beautiful and vibrant, and they're. It's you can't really explain how appreciative they are.
Kind of pure joy. I would bet.
And they just love us. I mean, when we arrive at the school.
Yeah, arrive at the school, we are just inundated with the love from
surrounded.
These kids, and it's kind of fun. We have photos of. The kids reaching up and touching Aaron's white blonde hair, you know, his little black hands touching her hair. And it's just so cute. And they love us, and we love them. And I don't
and
know.
They know what they're getting.
Yeah.
Right. When you're in an environment where school is a privilege,
right.
they are so happy and thankful that they are able to go to school. If you don't go to school in Haiti, you're looked down on.
Right.
And these kids are learning French. Of course, Haitian Creole is their main language. At sixth grade, they start learning Spanish. And we offer English from first grade up. So they're very, very blessed, fortunate children to be able to go to our school. And we're really... hoping and praying that we can continue. It is not easy. It does take money. And it's a wonderful opportunity for anyone out there to get involved and really feel the impact of their small amount of contribution.
Right.
It's completely changing the entire north coast of Haiti.
Okay.
So we just invite you to get involved and come down and see us at the Cobblestone at Main Beach.
So let's get those dates and times for the Cobblestone event. And if you have a website, give us that.
Absolutely.
Because we're almost out of time.
It's going to be July 21st and July 28th, both Saturdays, from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
We will be down there.
At
Main Beach Cobblestone area. We'll have a little live music, quiet live music, and raffle. LWCSHaiti.org.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's you guys do amazing work, and you're always have fun to have in studio. I look forward to having you back again to get an update on the impacts that you're making.
Thank you so much, Ernest.
Yes, thank you.
All right. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to The Importance of Being show. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and that's it for us. Have a great day. This is KX93.5.
Share some.